What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Savoring Sound, a show with the Dakota. We've got a really exciting show coming up today where we get to speak with Davina of Davina and the Vagabonds. But before we get to that, let me give you a little sneak peek at some of the shows we got coming up here for the next month. On February 12th, we've got the Dakota debut of Jax Hollow. She's an up-and-coming rock revivalist with a unique blend of classic rock, blues, and Americana. If you're looking for powerful vocals and ripping solos, come check her out on the 12th. And if you're looking for a way to impress your date on Valentine's Day, we've got an amazing show with Sophia Shirai and Tommy Barbarella. The Dakota will be serving up a sumptuous, decadent four-course dinner with a side of sensuous swinging jazz from amazingly talented vocalist Sophia Shirai and Prince's ace keyboard man from his Diamond and Pearls era. On the 24th, we've got Grammy Award-winning jazz musician Kenny Garrett. He's back for two shows to celebrate his latest release of Sounds from the Ancestors. The iconic saxophonist is an NEA jazz master and has played with some of the best, including Miles Davis and the Duke Ellington Orchestra, just to name a few. For more information on upcoming shows, please visit DakotaCooks.com. And now let's swing into the wonderful chat I got to have with Davina.
City in 15, yeah. You know what I mean? It is really hip here.
Are you rocking here right now? Are you living here?
Yeah. I have a house, and I bought a house about 10 years ago in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I like Minneapolis, but and it's done really well for me with my career, but I'm just like a little different than... I shouldn't say I'm a little different, because I think everybody's the same, but different, so I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm... I don't know. I just haven't really... I'm a little too assertive, and, like, I've lived a real fucking full life, and I just haven't met a lot of people that get me and, like, get it. You know what I mean? It's been difficult. A lot of people in the music scene, they just haven't seen a shit ton of stuff. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think
I scare people because I'm a mouthy, and I've seen so much shit, and I don't... Do you know what I mean? And I think I just haven't really found... So I've been looking either to move... Or move to the, not country, but have some land, get like a two house piece of land to have like a studio and then just me, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know where I could fucking go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I look on Zillow and shit and...
You know, even 20 years ago, though, it would have been a little more difficult because of, you know, the internet and, you know, social media. And
I bought my house at 169, so it was pretty cheap. Okay. And I'm really, like, that's all I ever wanted because I never thought being in the streets as long as I was, like, I never thought I would have a house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was hard to get it for, like, 15 years. I just work. So I just shoved money in a wall and ended up doing it myself without... You know, it's the only fucking thing I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have like a van with, you know, 316,000 miles on it and a house, you know, but it's something, you know, that I always wanted. It's weird, you know.
Throw your jacket up, put your feet up, and just marinate for
a minute, from like eating out of trash cans, being a heroin addict, to now like having a career for 20 years and then owning a home, it still just really surprises me.
You bounced around a lot when you were younger, huh?
Yeah, oh, I've been on my own since I was 15, really 13, but legitimately 15.
Okay.
So, yeah, I moved around a lot, you know, because I'm capable. I lived out of bags, you know, so it was real easy for me to have that type of lifestyle, you know, to get up and go and be on the road and do that with the music, you know. But there's definitely a point, I think, as I get older where it's like the priorities shift. You know, and you start really understanding what your priorities are and who you are deeper, on a deeper level, you know. But I grew up in a really economically depressed town where drugs were just so prevalent. And I know they're prevalent in North, and I'm not down in that, but there's just something different about small town Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You know, it was just kind of, everybody was just... so economically depressed, you know, but I was bad.
Yeah.
I experienced what adults experienced probably by the time I was 18.
You said you left Pennsylvania when you were like
15.
You jumped trains or something? Or
I did a little bit. I did some train hopping, and then you know, I lived in State College, which was really close. That's where Penn State is. And that was the first place when I was 15 that I moved to. And got a gig at a diner, lived there for a little bit, and then moved to Tucson. I think I was 16 and 17 when I lived there. Came back to PA for a little bit. I had one more credit to graduate. It was gym. So I did that on summer school. And then I just developed a really bad heroin habit. And then tried to get a Greyhound to New Orleans to kick. And I didn't even make it past Pittsburgh. So, like, I got out in Pittsburgh, and then I just backpacked for years, you know, and lived in Key West. I lived in Santa Cruz, California. Like, I just backpacked everywhere. So, you couldn't do that now, I don't think. I don't know.
I'm sure there's people who do still.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. I can't believe I'm alive, yeah. You know, when I think about all the...
I feel like it would be less dangerous nowadays with technology, though.
That's true, I guess.
You have more access to other humans.
Yeah.
Like, back then, there was no cell phone.
You had a pay phone.
Yeah, you had a pay phone if it worked.
If you had a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had a quarter.
You had a quarter.
You know, you can't really, you couldn't contact people.
Yeah.
You couldn't let people know you were all right, or I'm coming to town. Sure. You just show up. You know, it's like going down to your neighbor's house and just knocking on the door to see if little Timmy's home.
Sure, that doesn't happen that much anymore. Yeah. People ring your doorbell, you're like,
who is it?
You're like ducking. You're like, who's coming? Yeah, it's a whole different vibe.
You got any projects coming up? Anything coming out? Just got something and dropped at, 2022?
I had a Christmas album, but it was really nice. It was just during the pandemic, which I never wanted to have a holiday album, but I never was home for the holidays because I was always busy working, so we did that. And then we have a new album that's coming out. I don't have a release date, but everything's in the can.
Nice.
It's getting mixed now. It's called Shoot for the Moon.
Dope.
And we did it out of our home, which I know is like a thing that people are doing, but it was a really just great experience because I could take my time with writing. I didn't feel pressured. I still don't feel pressured, you know, and I'm really happy with the songs I wrote. It's a 16. I'm not doing, like, maybe I'll come out with singles, but I'm not going to do an EP. I'm going to do it old school with as many songs as, I want. On a CD, and I'll cut them down for the vinyl, but I just kind of want to wash everything out of my hair and start anew.
Yeah.
So it's like 16, 17 song.
All right.
With little bits. There's going to be like hidden tracks too, which is old school. Remember that back in the day? So I'm doing hidden tracks, like little segments of like songs and things that are important to me that I've written, you know, that maybe aren't full songs, but cool little hidden tracks here and there.
Listen to 10 minutes and 45 seconds after the last song.
You might find something. And that's what's happening. Really cool stuff. You know, we have strings that we brought into the house. And Zach is, who is my partner. Like, we still have a studio in our basement. And, you know, we just can be as creative as possible. Artwork is done. I can show it to you.
You got time.
Artwork is done, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm really excited about
fresh.
That. Yeah, it's cute.
That is
fresh. He's one of my favorite artists. You know, I met him on Instagram, Insta Slam, and I was like, please, you know, will you do my artwork? And he agreed. So that's really exciting.
It looks like it should be on a. Like the bottle of like a traveling medicine.
Right? Yeah, bottle, like snake oil.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But I really wanted that because I'm really multi-era. I always have been, even since I was a kid, you know. People are always like, you were born in the wrong era. And I'm like, I don't know if I could pick one.
Yeah.
You know, I've grew up like taking pieces from everything, even as a kid. Because my adopted dad was super old. He was born in 1902, so... I kind of grew up in like that old, you know, lots of older things, old home, old Victorian home, you know, so.
You're adopted?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Hey.
So,
me too.
Nice. Uh-huh. So, you know, I think you meet people with these big families and, you know, I think when you're adopted, not that I'm not looking back, but... and wondering, but I think you can pick your family and you're pretty good about it. And you know, you can just tell the love doesn't have to be blood, you know? Absolutely. So
on that note, do you get much, did some of your music stuff come from your adopted father?
Oh yeah. I grew up with, he had like an Edison record player, you know, and I grew up with an old tube TV, so we didn't really have cable. I didn't have MTV growing up, you know, so I had like you know, a piano and, you know, the great American songbooks and stuff like that. And that's what I would play in the piano growing up. And then his records, you know. So, yeah.
So you found, probably like I have, that it's a lot of nature versus nurture, that aspect.
Sure. I mean, I think so. I met my real mother's really, really into music. And she was a folk singer. Mm-hmm. So I have that. But then, you know, growing up around Clay, who was my adopted father, you know, I definitely have that nurture. Yeah, but I definitely have some things that I know are nature too, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. I think too, like, I think the nature part is like what you've seen in life too. You know, I always think that you can smell when people are being honest with their music, you know, and I think because maybe you haven't lived like a normal, whatever the hell that means, but, you know, the atypical, conventional life that we've seen for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, mm-hmm. I think that it's put us in a situation that benefits us. Maybe it didn't feel like that all the time when we were growing up, and maybe even sometimes now. But that imbalance kind of gives us that edge, whether we like it or not, to be as honest as we can, because we don't have to make up how we feel. Like, this is the shit we've been through, mm-hmm. you know, so we can really convey that through every aspect of our life, mm-hmm. and it's not fake, you know, which sometimes you can see people who are really like, you're doing too much kind of thing, you know, like, you're just doing too much, just be you, mm-hmm. you know, and I think when people have had no choice but to be themselves, you know, and put in predicaments where, or put in this life where it's a little atypical, you know, we've fought for who we are, and it comes out very vulnerable and beautiful and real and honest,
I feel,
which is hip as hell.
I feel like,
you know,
it's kind of that, I don't know if it's a saying or whatnot, but it's something, it pops into my head every once in a while, is I need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It helps me when I just like have that pop into my head, because
yeah,
you're able to, for myself, I'm able to assess that situation with a broader, like a bigger picture, a bigger broader light, you know, where I'm like, I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. I think vulnerability is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it makes people anxious, and, you know, they don't want to feel uncomfortable and they hate feeling vulnerable, but I've noticed that some of the best work I've ever have done is when I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm breaking out of this box that people placed on me, or that I placed on myself, you know. And it is good to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Who wants to be because when you're comfortable, you're not doing shit right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're stuck, and like, you know, I mean, it's good to be comfortable too. I'm not saying like you need to be always fight or flight, but I think as artists and as a creative that you are, the vulnerability is really what's key. People will see it, hear it, smell it, touch it. Like, they can see that they know what it's like to be vulnerable. So when they can see another artist or another you being feeling vulnerable and being vulnerable, it enables them to get it. I always say you can smell out dishonesty a mile away. Some people can.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be safe. And I think a lot of people think my music is very safe because we do a lot of, like, you know, older stuff that swing, and people might think it's square, but it still calls to me. So I feel like, you know, in that form of things, like, I'm still just being myself. And I think that helps me convey it on an edgier sense and kind of a raw, more raw and vulnerable sense. Like, yeah. Even if they think it's square, you know?
Mm-hmm. But from that, I'm taking that. It may be safe listening wise, but it obviously evokes some sort of an emotion from you.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore.
Yeah, and to convey that, people will get it, you know, people will understand it. If they choose.
Yeah, if they're open to it.
If they're open to it.
Yeah.
If, you know, they just give it a second.
Yeah.
And not like label it right away, you know.
You've been playing shows here for quite a few years now, haven't you?
Yeah, I think close to 20 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to remember.
I don't even know. You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and so I must have been in my early 20s then.
Yeah, it's just. We've had these ebbs and flows, but this has always been a second home to me at the Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, went through major life changes, you know, all through this being a stable thing for me, you know.
How many shows are you playing here right now?
Not very many.
Right
yeah, now. Things kind of, I took a little bit of a, to write the album, and the pandemic kind of made things weird for me mentally, I think. Not like, getting deep, but. Put things into perspective, and I used to average like 230 gigs a year, and I did that for about, I would say, no joke, like 13 years, just touring 5 days out of the week, even local shows on top of trying to get out and about to, you know, grow on a national or international level. And I probably don't remember a majority of it.
Yeah.
Just because it was so much all the time.
Yeah.
So, it, you know.
Kind of blended together a little
really,
bit.
Very much so.
Like one city to the next, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was in, you know.
Yeah. I mean.
Washburn, Wisconsin, and then I was in Chicago, and then, I don't know.
You know, I remember little things here and there, but I think, like, it was just, I was just out there pounding the pavement. And so now that I'm getting a little older, you know, I'm enjoying kind of being able to remember my gigs, you know, and to be able to be more present, because you just can't be present. The music is my first and always eternal love. I mean, it always will be. So I'm always present in the music, but, you know, people are like, oh, we've played this place. And I'm like, no. And they're like, yeah, Davina. I'm like, I don't remember it. You know, it's just a constant thing, but yeah. So I would say like, you know, I would say I'm doing about 100 gigs a year now, which is still a good amount.
Yeah, that's a solid.
Yeah, but not as much.
Not grinding.
Which is fine with me, to be honest. You know, it's nice to kind of be able to pick and choose and not saturate as much, you know.
I know, absolutely. So, it can get exhausting, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I think being an independent artist, you just have so many hats to wear.
Yeah. Are you doing most of your own booking and all that?
No, I'm not. That is one thing. You know, I had an agent, several different agents over the past decade. I think for 10 years I've had one. But I used to. When I was averaging 200 plus years, I was booking myself.
Okay.
And now I have a great agent. It's she's great. You know, but I still have to manage and do all of the social media. There's just, you know, so limited. I want to do everything all the time. Yeah. Conquer everything, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to step back.
Yeah.
Though, you know?
Yeah. And she does good. You know, she tells me to say no every once in a while because I'm very like, sure, let's do it. Let's do it. She's like, calm down, you know.
Let's do four shows on Tuesday.
Yeah. She's like, chill out, Davina. I'm like, oh, you know. So
it's excellent to hear you say that, though. Like, you do need that time.
You do, I think, just on so many different levels, you know. Just on so creatively, you just get stuck, you know, and you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. You just don't have space to live, and living is what gives you the ability to create, you know, on an honest level, you know, and not just trying to come up with music just to come up with music. Like, to me, like, having that space to feel.
No.
You know, when you're that busy, you ain't feeling anything.
Yeah.
You really aren't. Like, you're just doing. The only thing you're going to feel is tired, you know.
So you feel like you did less writing when you were touring like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I feel like when I was stuck to, like, I was stuck in and had a deadline to come out and write, you know, I'm happy with all my writing and everything, but I feel like it really put me in a place where I didn't want to just write, and that was happening a lot, you know, which to me made a little bit levels of it, not dishonest, but not quite as vulnerable and real as I would like it to be. So now it's nice that I can feel it, write it, be it, live in it, sit in it, you know, and be as honest as I can.
So this new project, you feel like you've had that space to
Open
up and allow it to just manifest itself as it does?
I think so. Yeah. I got to like deal with a lot of like, you know, kind of sorting through past traumas and writing about them and like, you know, writing about my family, which I never have. You know, writing about history of things that I've been through, which I've never really been able to do as much, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, some people might not dig some of the songs. Some of them are really, I don't know. I don't care
that,
as much anymore. Like, I don't want to write for other people. Mm-hmm. That's not true either. Like, I want to write for other people because I want them to be able to, but I'm not writing because I think they might like it. I'm writing it just to write it. So,
if you like it, that's all that matters.
It really is. I mean, when I'm on my, but I'm gonna get dark. But if I'm sick and on my deathbed, I'm not gonna be like, oh man, you know, so bummed I didn't write a song that made the top whatever. You know that that you know I just want to be able to tell people my story and hopefully they can dig it and they can relate to it, I guess, or not. I don't, you know, like, my people pleasing era is definitely over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you established yourself well enough that it
doesn't. And it's still me, you know, but. Yeah.
It's just you in a different light. It's exciting to hear.
It's really exciting.
I'm really excited to hear.
You know, I can split a box of spaghetti for 4 days now. Yeah. I'm not the richest girl that I used to be. And I wasn't, you know, up with money big time then either, but. Yeah. You know, to me, it just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't.
So you don't know when this is coming out, because now you got
it's
me.
Exciting.
You got me excited about it.
It's gonna come out soon. Like I have to get it mastered, and I need to come up with a date. You know, it's a year past what I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
You know, oops. So
you're not dealing with the label right now.
No, I don't think I'll ever deal with a label for the rest of my career.
Okay.
You know, I think those days are over. I really do. I think if they can, you can facilitate your own PR and you can facilitate a publicist and, you know, the only reason to go with a label is that they can throw money at you to waste and then you just spend way much more than you should and then who knows where it goes, you know. I think labels are done. Yeah. And maybe I'm speaking out of shop, but for me specifically, this will be my 8th CD and I've only had one on a label. And, like, I think they did a lot of great stuff for me to a certain extent, like, media-wise. But, you know, it was a lot more stress. And you get very steamrolled because you're not the only one making the decision, even though you really should be as an artist, period.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I don't think, for me, you know, I don't think a label is, I'm not going to shop around for labels.
Yeah.
It's done. Everything's so different.
Yeah.
You know, when you're with a label, you're kind of beholden to their team. And this way I can pick and choose who I want my team to be, you know, and who has faith in my music.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Wasn't that nice? You
that
know
is,
what
is
I mean?
Nice.
To be around people that maybe have faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you deal with a company, I think that there's statistically, there's going to be people that don't really give, that they're definitely, people have opinions, people work at different paces. You know, and you just can't pick a team, then there's going to be some
toes are going to step down.
Yeah, there's going to be people that aren't going to work for you like they should because maybe they're just not into you or they're too busy or who knows, you know.
Yeah. You got to have people who are passionate about
as
passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah, and then dig it and then we'll be able to convey that to the public. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at conveying my music. I'm like, it's honest. I'm so bad at selling myself.
Talking about yourself, man.
And I'm horrible at capitalism.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, you like my music? Sure, I'll take a peanut and a piece of cheese. Like, you know, I'm really horrible at, like, money's never been... I mean, I like to pay my bills, and I like nice things, but I've never been good at capitalism at all.
It's not your driving factor.
No.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to give a shout-out to your upcoming show on the... February
2nd, yeah.
7 p.m., right?
Yep.
All right.
I'm excited.
Doing one long set?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we're doing a 90, if memory serves. That's usually what we do. Right. My last gig was actually last night, or the night before last, but before that I didn't play since New Year's.
Okay.
Which was like, that's like a heck of a gig, you know? It's a lot of responsibility. But I did my gig the day before yesterday, and I hadn't sung since New Year's Eve from here. Yeah. So, and then my next gig will be the second. So a lot of space in between there to learn, and, you know, we'll be doing some new songs from the album for the first time, which is really exciting to, you know, demo them here, you know, on, on people, you know. So, yeah, Fab Sec, 2-2.
Just sitting down and chatting with you has been, like I said, again, a pleasure. I just really wanted to not so much focus on, like, tunes and this and that, but really give people more of an insight into
who I am.
Yeah, just to see who you are.
Yeah.
And
this is me.
You know? And so just give people, like, a just a spattering of a viewpoint from where your mind comes from to make what you do and to create what you do and to sing the way you do. And it's not all about the notes on the piano.
No.
It's not all about the writing on the paper. It's about what built that.
Yeah, and the heart and head are a big thing.
Yeah.
Heart and head.
And
that's so beautiful. I always ask people, how's your heart? How's your head? Mm-hmm. You know, two things you got to check on every day. Yeah. And that's where everything I do comes from, my heart and my head.
Hey, thanks for joining me for another episode of Savoring Sound. For more information on upcoming shows, please visit thedakotacooks.com or call the box office at 612-332-5299. Until then, be well.